Well, let me start it and you finish it, okay? I'll start it and you finish. The Bible says, and now by faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is... Well, that was wonderful. But you sound a little bit sleepy to me. A little bit tired. I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to sit up straight. Everybody sit up. Put a smile on your face. Take a big old deep breath. And if you cannot speak English, just mimic those that do, okay? I'll start and you finish. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, and now by faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is?
Love.
Question, are you in love? Is there anybody in this audience who's in love? One person. Two, huh? I heard about a guy that was in love. He fell in love with a girl, wanted to marry this girl, but he said, you know, before I get married, I need my mom and dad's approval. And so he brought this girlfriend home and introduced this girlfriend to his mom and his dad. Well, the most horrible thing happened. Mama did not like her. He didn't know what he was going to do. He could not marry a girl that mom did not like. And so he thought about it and he decided to get rid of that girlfriend. That's what he did. He got rid of that girlfriend, went out and found another girlfriend, fell in love with her, wanted to marry her, brought her home. Mama didn't like her. Two strikes and you're almost out, right? He said, man, if I'm ever going to get married, I must marry a girl like dear old mom. And that's what he decided to do. He went out and he found a girlfriend like his mama. I mean, she looked like mom, acted like mom, dressed like mom, walked like mom, talked like mom. He brought her home and dad didn't like her. But he was in love. Are you in love? Well, if you're in love, you know what love is all about. Love is an action. We talked a little bit about this on Sunday night. Love is patient and love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. And on, Paul goes saying that love is doing, love is serving, love is giving, love is saying, hey, you first, me second. Love is an action. And you know what's true with love? It's also true with faith. Faith, like love, is also an action. Let me show you why I say that. I want you to take your spiritual GPS, and I want you to go with me, please, to the book of Hebrews. It comes in the latter part of the New Testament, right before the book of James is the book of Hebrews. And tonight we go to Hebrews chapter 11. So good to see you tonight. Thank you for your presence. It's always good to come together to study the Word of God. If you were with us last night, you know that I talked to you about what God has done for us. It's been said before, don't ever tell a sinner what to do until you tell him what God has already done. And after you tell the sinner what God has done, then you can tell him what to do. Well, last night we talked about what the Lord has done. We talked about Jesus. We talked about that only begotten Son, that gift. We emphasized the cross. And that was last night's lesson, what God has done. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about man's response to the love of God. What man must do. Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter on faith. That is man's response to God's will. It can be summed up, our response to the will of God can be summed up with one word, the word faith. And that's what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about. It's about faith. Let me give you a great outline of this chapter. You know, most Bible students that I know appreciate good outlines of good Bible texts. Well, I have a great outline of the faith chapter. Three simple little points. Number one, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. We start out with a definition of faith. The writer tells us what faith is. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's our definition of faith. That's point number one. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, the definition. Number 2, in Hebrews 11, 2 through the end of the chapter. How many verses are in this chapter, audience? Are there 40? Hebrews 11, 2 through 40, what we find are some illustrations of faith. He starts out with the definition. He explains faith. And then he says, let me illustrate. And what he does in Hebrews 11, 2 through the end of the chapter, 2 through 40, he shares with us some great heroes of faith. I want you to glance over this chapter and call out some names that you see. Who do you see in this chapter? Okay, Abel, the brother of Cain. Enoch, the man that walked with God. Noah, the guy that built that boat. Abraham, the friend of God, the father of the faithful. You look down to verse 32 and you'll find a number of names. Gideon, Samson, and David, and Samuel, the prophets. See, these are the illustrations of faith. So we start out with the definition of faith. And then he says, let me illustrate now. In chapter 12, verse 1 and following, what he does, he makes an application of faith. What's the first word in your Bible in chapter 12, verse 1, audience? Okay, maybe your Bible says wherefore. Maybe your Bible says therefore. And you know, anytime you see the word therefore in the Bible, you need to stop and ask yourself, what's the therefore, therefore? What's the therefore, therefore? What's it therefore? And it really points to a conclusion. The writer is saying, if what I've said to you is true, what I'm about to say to you has to be true. If this is right, then this has to be right. And what he does in chapter 12, verses 1 and following, he makes an application of faith. You want a great outline of the faith chapter? Three simple points. Number one, a definition of faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Number two, some illustrations of faith, Hebrews 11, 2 through 40. And then starting in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, let's make an application. Therefore, let us lay aside every sin, every weight that does so easily beset us. Well, what I want to do as we talk about man's response to the love of God, as we talk about faith tonight, what I want to do, I want to ask three simple little questions. Three questions about faith. And here's question number one. Now, a few minutes ago, Brother David said, I don't use PowerPoint. But folks, I made PowerPoint popular with my signs. You didn't know that, did you? In fact, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. You do have signs, don't you? Well, I've got signs. And here's sign number one. What? What? And by what, I simply mean, what is faith? If we're going to be talking about it tonight, we need to know what it is. So what is faith? What is it? Well, let's go back to our definition, okay? Hebrews 11, verse 1. The text says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Did y'all understand that? I didn't think so. Listen to it again. What is faith? My mother's Bible, the Old King James, says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I remember when I was growing up, I grew up in a little country church outside of Huntsville, Alabama. And Tom has preached there. And I grew up in that little church. And preachers would come our way and they would talk to us about faith. And if they talked to us about faith, more than likely they would ask the question, what is faith? And I would say in my heart, I know, I know. I'd go off to Bible class and the teacher would say, boys and girls, we're going to be talking about faith. Does anybody know what faith is? And I'd raise my hand, I know, Keith, what is faith? And I would quote Hebrews 11 verse 1 from my mother's Bible. I would say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And she would say, the teacher would say, oh, that's good, that's good. And to be honest with you, I had no idea what I was saying. You know, as a kid, I memorized this verse. But what does that mean? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? Let me put it to you in cornbread language, okay? Let me tell you what faith is. I want to put it down to where the boys and girls can understand. Faith is being certain. Faith is being sure. In fact, one Bible, maybe you have a translation that says, faith is being sure of what we hope for. What do you hope for? You say, Keith, I hope to go to heaven. So do I. Are you sure you're going to heaven? See, that's faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not see. A few minutes ago, I didn't know we were going to sing this song tonight. Gabe, you led us in the song. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know He lives. You know what we were singing about? We were really singing about faith. Because faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not see. The easy to read Bible. There's a Bible that's called the Easy to Read Bible. I love that Bible. You know why? It's easy to read. And the Easy to Read Bible puts it like this. Faith is knowing that something is real even if you do not see it. Now think about that. That makes sense to me. What is faith? What is faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1 from the Easy to Read Bible. Faith is knowing that something is real even if you do not see it. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. I want you to imagine that you're going to die. Your life is going to be snuffed out unless you answer one question correctly. And the question is, what do I have in my hand? I have something in my hand and you're going to die unless you answer the question correctly. I would come to you and I would say, trust me, have faith. In my hand there's some money. Gabe, how old are you? 14. Good job tonight, 14-year-old song lead. You're too young to die. 14-year-old, you're too young to die. I don't want you to die, but you're going to die unless you answer the question correctly. I'd come to you and I'd say, Gabe, have faith. In my hand there's some money. Gabe, what's in my hand? Money. Do you see the money? You don't see the money. Gabe, do you know that there is money in my hand? No. Do you say no? He says, yes. I said, no. What would you say about Gabe? I tell you what I would say about him. He knows how to mess up a good illustration, right? Because what is faith? Faith is knowing that it's real, even if you do not see it. Hey, beauty queen Allison, how old are you? Another 14-year-old, right? Allison, trust me, have faith. In my hand, there's some money. Allison, what's in my hand? Money. Do you see the money? You don't see the money, right? Now, Allison, we all know that girls are smarter than guys, right? You don't see the money. Allison, do you know that there's money in my hand? Yes. Right? You say yes? Yes. You say yes. What would you say about Allison? She has faith, right? She has faith. Because what is faith? Faith is knowing that it's real even if you do not see it. And Allison, in my hand there's a $5 bill. It's yours. What about that, Gabe? Next time you're going to have more faith. Do you remember in John chapter 6 when the disciples left Jesus and Jesus turned to the disciples that remained and He said, will you guys be like these guys? Will you also go away? And Peter, the apostle Peter, I love Peter. Peter speaks up and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And then in John 6 and verse 69, if you're taking notes, that's John 6 and verse 69. Peter said, Jesus, we believe. That's what we're talking about tonight. Faith, believe. Peter said, Jesus, we believe and we are. Do you remember what he said, audience? John 6, 69, Peter said, Jesus, we believe and we are sure. We believe and we are certain. We believe and we know you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And ladies and gentlemen, that's God's concept of faith. Now, that's not our definition of faith. We use the word faith like this. I believe it's going to rain tomorrow. Are you sure? Oh, no. Are you certain? Oh, no. You know, I have arthritis and I get up and my joints are hurting. And I just feel like there's a front coming in and it's just my opinion that tomorrow it's going to rain. And we use the word faith as an opinion. It's a feeling. And God says, no, no. Faith is not an opinion. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is being sure. Faith is being certain. Faith is knowing It's real, even if you do not see it. Now, folks, I've never seen heaven. I've never seen the Holy Spirit who lives in me. I've never seen my brother Jesus Christ. I've never seen my Heavenly Father. I've never seen heaven itself. Do you know that they're real? That's faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not see. You say, Brother Keith, do you ever have any doubts? Do I ever have any doubts? Ha! About every day. Sure, I have doubts. My faith is not perfect. In fact, every time I sin, that's a testimony to my little faith. But I tell you what faith is, folks. The Holy Spirit gives us a great definition. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not see. What is faith? Hebrews 11 and verse 1 answers the question. You ready for question number 2? Here's question number 2. Why? And by why, I simply mean, why is faith important? Why talk about faith on a Tuesday night of a revival? I mean, you've given your precious time to come together to this church service, and I'm up here talking to you about faith. Well, why talk about faith? Why is faith important? Well, I want you to go back to the text, Hebrews 11. Let the Holy Spirit answer the question for you, okay? Go back to verse 6, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Let me show you why faith is important. The text says, without faith, it is what? What does your Bible say? It is impossible. It is impossible to please God. The word impossible simply means without strength or without power. If something is impossible for you to do, you don't have the strength or the power to do it. Gabe, no money on this one. Okay, this is a freebie. I'll give you another chance. Gabe, name something impossible for you to do. Okay, Gabe says, I can't fly. It's impossible for me to fly. You don't have the strength or the power to be a bird, right? God didn't make you that way. Let me show you, Gabe, something impossible for me to do. It's impossible for me to move this wall. Now, I could do it with a machine, but I'm not talking about machine. I'm talking about muscle. I don't have the strength or the power to move the wall. By the way, the word impossible in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 is the same word, the same Greek word that Luke uses in Acts 14 and verse 8 to describe a lame man at Lystra. I know a little bit about being lame, okay? I'm walking around on a boot, had surgery 2 months ago. And I have a son that's lame. He'll be here tomorrow night. You know Pete? Many of you know Pete. He's 33 years old. Never taken a step by himself in his life. He's in a wheelchair. You know what God is saying? God is saying, let me show you why faith is important. The lame man at Lystra did not have the strength or the power to walk. God is saying, let me show you why faith is important. God says, without faith, you don't have the strength or the power to please me. Without faith, folks, you're in a spiritual wheelchair. Without faith, you are spiritually lame. You can't walk spiritually without faith. You can't please God without faith. He goes on to say, now he that comes to God must believe that He is. We've got to believe that God exists. We've got to believe that God is, that He lives. We've got to believe in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me ask you, do you know anybody who does not believe that? Do you know anybody who does not believe that God is? We call them atheists. Do you know any atheists? I heard about a science teacher, a seventh grade science teacher. He did not believe in God. And one day he was up before his Bible class. Or not his Bible class, but his science class. And he was making this statement. He said, boys and girls, only crazy people believe in God. I've studied science. I know my stuff. And he'd say, you'd have to be crazy to believe in God. I'll prove it to you. If there's a God in heaven, he would point his finger to the sky and he would say, this science teacher would say, if there's a God in heaven, let him strike me dead right now. And he paused and nothing happened.
And he said with a big old smile on his face, "See, boys and girls, that proves there's no God. You'd have to be crazy to believe in God." And that was a little seventh grade student, a little boy in that class that raised his hand, and the teacher nodded to the boy. And the boy spoke up and said, "Sir," to the teacher, sir, "that does not prove that there is no God. That just proves that our God is a very gracious God." He is a gracious God, isn't he? See, God loves people. God is not against you. He's for you. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. God wants everybody to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. And if we're going to please this God, we've got to believe that He is. We've got to believe that God exists. You get out here on one of these roads, and you drive up and down one of these roads, you see a house being built. What do you ask? How many of you look at this house that's going up and say, when did that thing pop into existence? When did that thing happen? No, you know. I mean, if you see a house being built, you know behind that house, there's a house builder. You might ask the question, "Hey, here's a new house. Who's building that house? Who's the framer? Who's framed that house? Who's the architect?" Because you know behind the house, there's a house builder. And folks, if it's true with a house, it's also true with the world. If a house demands a house builder, the world demands a world maker. In fact, right here in this same book, the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 4, the writer said, "Every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God." And we've got to believe that. We've got to believe that God exists. Notice something else we've got to believe. He goes on to say, and Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "And that He is a rewarder of whom? Those who seek Him how? Diligently." Now I want to ask the baptized believers of this audience, just my question to you. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not accusing. I'm just asking. In love, I'm asking. As a baptized believer, as a Christian, honestly, are you seeking God diligently, earnestly, with all of your heart? How many of you remember the name Elizabeth Smart? You remember that story about that young lady, that girl that was kidnapped? There was a movie that was made about her life. She came up missing. Let me ask you a question. How do you think Elizabeth's family searched for Elizabeth when she was kidnapped? Do you think they were casual about it and lukewarm about it and laid back about it? Do you think if a group got together and said, "Hey, we're going to go search for Elizabeth," do you think mom and dad said, "Y'all go on, we're too tired"? Honestly, how do you think her family searched for that girl? Diligently, earnestly. I mean, if you're a parent and all of a sudden a baby comes up missing, a child comes up missing, at that point in your life, there's nothing else that really matters. I mean, your career doesn't matter, your job doesn't matter, your money doesn't matter, your house, your car, they don't matter. The only thing that matters is, I have a baby that's lost. I've got to find my baby. I've got to find my child. And that's what I see in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. God says, let me tell you why faith is important. Without faith, you don't have the strength or the power to please me. Now, if you come to me, you've got to believe that I am. You've got to believe that I exist. And you also must believe that I bless you. Oh, I want to bless you. But you've got to seek me, not lukewarmly, not casually, not with a, you know, if I'm not too tired, I'll be there attitude. God says, you've got to seek me diligently, earnestly. Bottom line, nothing else in my life is really important. My job doesn't matter. My career doesn't matter. The money doesn't matter. Cars, houses, clothes, they don't matter. The only thing that matters is my relationship with God. So I want to ask you, Christian, I'm just asking, are you seeking God earnestly, diligently? Bottom line, the only thing that really is important is my relationship with my Heavenly Father. How are you seeking God as a Christian? As a believer? Are you seeking God diligently? Question number one, what is faith? Hebrews 11 and verse 1 gives us a marvelous answer. Question number two, why? Why talk about it? Why is faith important? Hebrews 11 and verse 6 gives us a marvelous answer. Question number three before we close. Who? And by who I simply mean, who has faith? Who has faith? Well, I want you to go back to the text. And let me share with you a couple of examples of people who had faith in the past. Look back to verse 23, Hebrews 11 and verse 23. By faith, who do you see in verse 23, audience? Moses. Do you see that? By faith, Moses. What about verse 24? By faith, who? Who? Moses. You remember Moses? God called Moses to lead His people out of bondage. Moses, take off your shoes. Now I want you to imagine. You're out in the field, watching over a few animals, a few sheep, and a bush on fire begins to talk to you. What would you do? Huh? Probably whatever the bush said, right? And that's what Moses does. Moses, take off your shoes. And Moses says, okay. He took off his shoes. And God said to Moses, I want you to lead my people out of bondage. Moses said, well, Lord, what if they don't believe me? And God said, Moses, what's in your hand? I love God. I really love God. Because He does not ask difficult questions, does He? Moses, what's in your hand? Moses said, it's a stick, a staff. God said, throw it down. And I love Moses. I really love Moses because he just does what God tells him to do. He throws it down. Folks, you know what we would have done if we'd been there? You know what we would have said? I know. I've been to some of our church business meetings. If we had been there and God said, throw it down, we would have said, why? How come? Excuse me, God. How much is this going to cost? But not Moses. Moses just throws it down. And the Bible says it became a what? It became a serpent, a snake. Now folks, I don't know how you feel about snakes. I know how Moses and I feel about snakes, okay? And the Bible says he ran from it. Now where is he? He's out in the desert. What does he have on his feet? Not a boot. No sandals. He's barefooted. Take off your shoes. How old is he? Do you remember? He's 80 years old. By the way, there are only two chapters in the book of Exodus about the first 80 years of Moses' life. There are 38 chapters in the book of Exodus about the last 40 years of his life. He died at the age of 120. Moses really did not start living until he was 80 years old. Older people, don't retire on God. We need you. We need your love. We need your wisdom. We need your prayers. We need your encouragement. Now get the picture, folks. Here's an 80-year-old man, out in the desert, barefooted, hiking up his robe, running from a snake. God said, Moses, come back and pick that thing up. You know what we would have said? Why? You're the one that told me to throw it down, but not Moses. Moses just reaches down and he picks it up. And I bet you, I'm not a bet man, but I bet you he picked it up by the tippy-tippy of the tail, don't you? But you talk about a great man with incredible faith. Moses had faith. He had faith. Who has faith? Moses had faith. Let me show you. He wasn't perfect. He had his doubts, just like all of us. He was human. But Moses had faith. Let me show you somebody else who had faith. Go back to verse 7. Who do you read about in verse 7? By faith. You see that Noah? You remember Noah? God told Noah to build that boat. 450 feet long. 75 feet across. 45 feet high. One window. One door. Three decks. My mother's Bible says make it of gopher wood. Maybe your Bible says make it of cypress wood. Genesis 6:22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. I want you to go back with me. Thousands of years. And I want you to see this old guy as he's out and he's building a boat. Maybe his sons are there. Shem, Ham, Japheth. Maybe the women are there.
but they're all built in a boat. And somebody comes along and says, "Hey, you! Hey, what's your name?" "I'm Noah." "Noah, what are you doing?" "It's a boat. I'm building a boat." "Noah, why are you building a boat?" "It's going to rain." "Rain? What's rain?" "Water from above. Water from up there." "Wait a minute, Noah, let me make sure I understand this. Water's going to come down from the sky?"
"Yeah."
"It's going to rain?" "Noah, how long is it going to rain?" "40 days and 40 nights." "What, man? Wait a minute. Are you telling me water's going to come from the sky for 40 days and 40 nights?" "Yeah." "Hey, Noah, you've been out in the sun too long. Noah, your pork slack's not on. Your bread's not done, Noah. Your cheese has slipped off of the cracker. Hey, Noah, the wheel is spinning, but the hamster is dead. Something's wrong. I mean, can't you imagine people looking at this guy and saying, look at this crazy old fool. He thinks it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights.
And you know, just like Noah preached and just like God promised, guess what? It began to rain, didn't it? Drop by drop, little by little. Then all of a sudden the heavens open up and the waters come up from the earth. And Scripture does not say this. I want you to understand that I know Scripture does not say this. But in my mind, you know, maybe a week or two into that flood after hundreds and thousands had died, in my mind, I can just picture somebody swimming out to that boat, holding on maybe to a tree and then letting go and swimming out of that boat and knocking on that door and saying, "Hey, Noah, open the door. We're dying out here. We're drowning out here."
And soon no voices were heard because God's patience ran out. And folks, I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. But I tell you, when you take a look at what's going on in America, men sleeping with men, women marrying women, and then we have people just living together outside of marriage. I mean, everybody does it, right? It's no big deal for a man and a woman just to live together. And then you think about the greed in America, just the love for money, the covetousness, the idolatry. And you can't even turn on the TV without somebody flippantly or lightly using God's name in vain. And even sometimes even Christians get caught up in this. Maybe somebody says something that shocks you or surprises you. And you don't mean anything by it, but you say, "Are you kidding? You're not kidding. Oh my. Oh my." And we just throw out the name of God. And you take a look at what's going on in America. The addictions. Addictions to drugs and alcohol. Drunkenness on every hand. I tell you, one day God's going to say, God, just like He did with Noah, He's going to draw the line in the sand and He's going to say, "Hey, that's enough, angels. Go get them. Son, it's time." And my question is, on that day, who among us will have faith? Now, I know that Noah had faith and Moses had faith, but let's bring it home to this audience. Who among us has faith? Let me ask it like this. Do you have enough faith to become a daily Bible reader? Do you read your Bible every day? I'm just asking. I mean, you talk on that phone every day, don't you? I went off this afternoon without my phone. I had left my phone at home. And I was on the way up here. And I'm thinking, wow, I can't come. I've got to go back and get that phone. We feel so empty without a phone, right? And we talk to neighbors and friends. Do you talk to God every day? And do you allow God to talk to you? Do you have enough faith to become a daily Bible? See, that's how faith comes. Faith comes by listening, hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So do you have enough faith to get into the Word of God every day and communicate to God every day? Do you have that kind of faith? Let me ask you like this. Do you have enough faith to become a Sunday nighter and a Wednesday nighter? You know, a lot of people come on Sunday morning, big old crowd on Sunday morning, and then it dwindles down on Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now I know this is Tuesday night, and you're here, and for that we're grateful.
But maybe you've not been in the habit of going to church on a Sunday night and Wednesday night. Do you have enough faith to become a Sunday nighter and a Wednesday nighter? Let me ask you like this. Do you have enough faith to go to a neighbor or friend and knock on his door and say, "Hey, I should have been here before now, but we're having a revival at our church, and tomorrow night's the last night. We'd love for you to come." Do you have enough faith to invite somebody to come with you tomorrow night? The last night of this revival? Do you have that kind of faith? Do you have enough faith to give up something that's wrong in your life? Maybe it's envy or jealousy, cursing, lying, gossip. Do you have enough faith to make some severe changes in your life? Do you have that kind of faith? Let me ask you like this. I'm asking every one of you, okay, including myself. Do you have enough faith to step out into a church aisle and come forward and say, "Pray for me. I just need to be prayed for"? When was the last time you came forward in church and said, "Pray for me"? It's biblical. James 5:16, confess your sins one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Do you have enough faith to go public for Jesus tonight? Do you have that kind of faith? You say, "Keith, I believe." I'm glad you believe. But do you have faith that motivates you to action? Let me ask those of you who are not Christians this question. Do you have enough faith to do what the world considers very, very strange and weird and crazy? Do you have enough faith to be dunked in water? See, Jesus still says, anybody that believes, that's what we're talking about tonight. Faith, belief. Jesus said, anybody that believes, that's faith, and is baptized, that's faith in action. Anybody that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, you believe in Jesus. You will not be in church on a Tuesday night without belief. But do you have enough faith to put that faith into action and to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins? Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38. Do you have that kind of faith? Moses had faith. Noah had faith. What about us? We're about ready to stand and sing. Before we do, let me share with you two verses. Two verses. Just listen to them, okay? Just listen to them. Mark 9 and verse 24. There's a daddy that goes to Jesus. And this daddy has a handicapped son. I have a handicapped son. This daddy has a demon-possessed son. And this daddy goes to Jesus. And this daddy says, "Lord, heal my son. Would you heal my son?" And Jesus says, "Sir, if you believe, all things are possible." And I love the daddy's response. Do you remember what he said in Mark 9, 24? The daddy said, "Lord, I believe." But then he made this statement, "Help my unbelief." Could it be open and honest with you tonight? That's where I am. That's where this preacher is. I believe. Folks, I wouldn't be a preacher if I did not believe. If I know my heart, yes, I have faith. "Lord, I believe." But I have to follow that statement by making this statement. "Help my unbelief." That's verse number one. Here's verse number two. Luke 17 and verse 5. Somebody went to Jesus and said, "Lord, increase our faith." Increase our faith. You know who said that? Who said that? "Lord, increase our faith." Who said that? You know who said that? Luke 17 and verse 5. The apostles. The apostles said, "Lord, increase our faith." Think about that, folks. The apostles, people like Peter, Andrew, James, and John, people that lived with Christ, that saw the miracles, that heard the sermons, even the apostles said, "Lord, increase our faith." And I read that and I think, my, oh my, if the apostles needed more faith, what about me? What about you? Is there anybody in this audience that has enough faith to say, "Lord, increase my faith"? Who has faith? No doubt you do. But on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a dead faith and 10 being a dynamic faith. Kind of like what James talked about in James chapter 2. A dynamic faith and a dead faith. Honestly, where's your faith tonight? Have you grown in faith? Have you added to your faith? Are you stronger today than you were a year ago? Or do you have enough faith to be open and honest and transparent and say, man, I need a change. I really need a change. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So what's going to happen tonight? It's a Tuesday night. God has blessed us with public responses. Sunday morning, Sunday night. What's going to happen tonight? Will anybody come and say, I'm ready to become a Christian? Will any baptized believer come and say, pray for me? I just need to be prayed for. I want to change. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Faith, like love, is an action. And may God motivate you, all of us, to action tonight. We love you. This church loves you. We're here to help you. Can we pray for you? Could we baptize you into Christ? Why don't you leave your pew? Don't even pick up a songbook. Don't even start singing. Just leave your pew and come forward. Do what's right tonight, would you? Let's stand.